Jason, Ed Coleman here in New York. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on, Ed?
How you doing? All right. Good. I don't know if you're catching the Michigan Ohio State game at all, but it's embarrassing if you're a Michigan fan and for Jim Harbaugh. I think he better get his bags packed here pretty soon.
Well, I think Michigan will give him another season or two if he wants to stay. I will say Jim would like to find his way back to the NFL if he had his choice, but. Look, he's righted the ship, but righting the ship is not enough for what Michigan wants. This is not good. But you better have a quarterback at some point.
Yeah, I know. It's been ugly to watch in a game they had to win and can't at this point. I would say, and it's tough playing there too, and tough playing against Meyer.
Yep.
We talked a lot about the Giants and Jets here. I'll start you off with that. The Giants go down to Philly. You know, they're in the midst of their 8 in a row, which they claim they're going to do. Remains to be seen. But at least they got the first two legs in as they go down to Philly and face a banged-up Eagles team this Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, they got a shot in this one, if for no other reason than, you know, the Eagles' secondary is toast at this point. And I think the Eagles, you know, whatever shot they thought they had of getting back in the race was squandered, not last week against the Saints, but the previous week against the Cowboys, where they did not play well at all. And so, yeah, maybe this is where the Eagles sort of rise up and say, you know, we'll take some kind of valiant stand here for the final part of the season. But I really think that mental edge is gone from what they were able to accomplish last season, and, you know, coupled with the injuries that they have in the secondary right now.
Yeah. It seems like it's just, you know, the injuries have kind of totally worn them down, and they haven't had the results on the field, and they've been ugly at times, too, not just, you know, getting beat, but getting beat badly. It seems to have worn them down over time.
Yeah, I mean, they ran into a buzzsaw last week. I mean, everybody right now has got problems dealing with the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
So they shouldn't be embarrassed by that result. But again, I think the week before was the one that just emotionally, I think, they thought, okay, look, we'll get squared with this game, get right back in the middle of the race, make a run in the second half, because Washington's not that good, Dallas is not that good, the Giants are obviously, at that point in time, you know, dead in the water, and then that game escapes from them, and then all of a sudden they get to New Orleans, and it just gets incredibly ugly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that team knows that there's no hope of them defending their title at this point.
Saints the best team in the NFL in your eyes or not?
No, I think it's kind of a mixed bag. The Saints are the hottest team in the NFL at the moment.
Okay.
But I think that, look, I think if you go back to that Rams game that they played at home, if the fake field goal by Hecker is a different call, and that was a very close play.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I thought he got the first down on the reach.
Mm-hmm.
But if you flip that call, I think the Rams beat them. Not, you know, handily, but they beat them. And I thought that, you know, in a lot of ways, for the first few minutes of that game, they got outplayed. The Saints get that call, they go on a nice run, control the first half, and then they kind of hold on. So I think that those two teams are as even as it gets. And ultimately, who goes to the Super Bowl could just very well come down to home field advantage, which the Saints obviously have right now.
Right.
But there, you think the Chiefs, look, the Chiefs, again, they go on the road to Los Angeles, make a bunch of mistakes, commit a bunch of penalties, and come up on the short end of one of the greatest shootouts in the history of the NFL. So I think you put those three teams in, you know, basically put them in a hat, pick whichever one is on a piece of paper, you know, and that's your winner at that point in time. And look, the Patriots and the Steelers aren't that far behind.
Right.
And the Bears, look, I don't think they can score enough points, but they've got probably the best defense out of all these teams that we're talking about.
They did the job in Detroit. Most people, you know, pegged that down as an L with Trubisky on the sideline, and Daniel held his own there, and the defense was terrific. The Matthew Stafford helped out an awful lot toward the end of that game, unfortunately for Lion fans. But yeah, no, they're a team to be reckoned with. I would agree with you.
Yeah, that game was more of a referendum on Matt the mighty Matt Patricia and Stafford came up big time short in that game. I mean, look, Bears played on Sunday night, and now they got to switch quarterbacks after a Sunday night game and
right.
go on the road, and you can't win that game. Like, shame on Matt Stafford and shame on Matt Patricia. I mean, I know we're talking about a rookie head coach and a quarterback is in what his fourth system or whatever it is, but you got there are certain games that you just have to win because everything is set up for you.
Yep.
And that game was one of those.
No, I totally agree. I agree with you. And but yeah, listen, give credit to the Bears. You know, the defense got the job done in particular, and Daniel didn't kill you. So that
yeah, it was a great for a guy making his third start playing as a backup.
Yep.
He's 32.
Yep.
He was off prepared. I give Chase Daniel a lot of credit. The man has been incredibly patient over the course of his career, and when called upon, was ready.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you can ask for.
Jason Cole, the editor-in-chief of Fansided.com, joining us here to talk about the NFL and the games coming up this week or tomorrow, actually, and looking back on the Thursday games as well, too. Let me ask you this with... you know, in an era, I guess, when running backs are becoming semi-extinct or whatever, Saquon Barkley, your thoughts on him and his impact thus far with the Giants?
Yeah, well, Scott, here's my point, I guess, where I would disagree with your theory. And, yeah, you can get by with multiple backs, but what happens is that, you know, everybody goes to that system because everybody's throwing so much, and not that everybody's throwing less, but what happens is that so many teams have smaller defensive players that are so dependent on playing pass defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Either smaller pass rushers or you've got multiple defensive backs or you got lighter linebackers that eventually that there's a shift in the game. And those shifts don't last very long because, again, it's such an emphasis on scoring in the quarterback. But sometimes when you have that shift, you can take advantage of it with a great running back. And I think that Barkley is that kind of running back. I think Ezekiel Elliott, the reason he was taken, what, number four overall, if I remember correctly,
yep,
is because the ability for a team with a great offensive line to take advantage of undersized defenses that are predominant around the league. And not absolute, but predominant, again, around the league.
You mentioned Dallas. I'll go there. Elliott has certainly performed great here over the last month or so in particular. And with Cooper there, it seems like Prescott is resuscitated. He seems to be the quarterback that he was prior to last year. And I guess having Amari Cooper and the way he's playing helps an awful lot with that, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, just like Barry says, it's Aikman, Irvin, and Smith all over again. I just, you know, just count the championships going forward. I hope my sarcasm came through.
Yes, it did.
Look, they have a nice group. Obviously, Ezekiel Elliott is one of the two or three running backs in the league. You know, put him up against, you know, depending on how you view Barkley, depending on how you look.
Right.
Gurley, he's right there with any of those.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Cooper, if they can resuscitate him, get him back to what he was the first couple of years, then, yeah, you're talking about a dominant receiver. And Prescott becomes the trigger man for that. And just, you know, like he did his first year in the league, don't screw it up. You know, don't get in the way, make the right reads, get to the right people. Then that team has a chance to be good enough on offense, or actually very good on offense.
And let their defense dictate a little bit.
And their defense is, you know, with Van Der Esch and Smith, mm-hmm, and Lawrence, you know, and now you get Gregory as a contributor and some of the other guys that they have. You know, that's a really terrific defense. I think it's a clear step behind Chicago, but they're within talking distance of teams you think are going to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I just think, you know, they've risen up here a little bit and they seem to have more life. And maybe you found a plan to win games too. Let the defense dictate a little bit and just don't, you know, come up with enough big plays on offense with the playmakers.
I don't quite trust Dallas yet.
Okay.
Well, I mean, just history over the last 10 years, mm-hmm, tells you that 500 team, number one, number two, that Tennessee game wasn't that long ago.
No, you're right about that. Jason Cole, our guest, editor-in-chief, fansided.com. Let me go back to New York for a second. He's not playing this week against the Pats as Tom Brady and the Pats come in. But, Darnold, your thoughts on Darnold and his progress, I guess, this year?
It looks good. I mean, I'm not overwhelmed by it. But this is the point in the season where, you know, everybody got really excited about the rookie quarterbacks and thought we were going to see, you know, like a next Marino, Roethlisberger, or Peyton. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, we remember that Peyton Manning set a record for interceptions his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, you know, they fall apart and they get tested. And I think Darnold's had those moments. He looked pretty nice the first few games. He's made his share of mistakes. And I, you know, that doesn't bother me one bit, because I think the one thing about Darnold that I like is he's not afraid to throw it. He's not afraid to throw an interception. Like, there are some guys out there who are so afraid to make a mistake that they can't pull a trigger and try to make a big play. And it's almost impossible to coach a guy into having the courage to make a play. I think it's possible. And again, there are exceptions. You know, Jameis Winston's been very hard-headed about it so far in his career, and Brett Favre was hard-headed about it throughout his career. But I think it's easier to say, look, you can't throw this particular throw in this particular situation and learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what we're looking at Darnold, as a guy who, okay, found out there are throws you can make and there are throws you can't. And I think a Jets team that goes, we need better weapons around him to highlight what he does well and make the game easier for him.
Gotcha. I mean,
right now the game is very hard for him. Not because of himself, but because he doesn't have a lot of help.
Correct. There are some games you circle each week that you certainly want to watch and get a look at. Seattle at Carolina, a very interesting game to me anyway in this week, and a lot at stake, too.
You're reaching on this one, Ed.
What's that?
You're reaching on this week's slate of games.
Yeah, it's not a great
yeah,
week.
Yeah.
I agree.
That salesmanship job just wasn't quite there. Carolina, Seattle. We got Russell Wilson. We got Cam Newton. Let's get jacked for this one.
I know it's not Chiefs Rams. I know that's for sure.
Last week we had
10
games decided by 5 points or less.
Right. Yeah.
And it was a lot of that was just end game coaching. You know, decision making. Like I was watching the Jacksonville Pittsburgh game very closely because Jacksonville did such a good job early on, and they screwed it up. But now you get to Carolina and Seattle, and you're talking about a Carolina team that just had Riverboat Ron, you know, go for it on the road. I mean, this is one of those games where it's a coaching decision, and I appreciate coaches having the guts to say, "Look, go for it on the road, try and pull get a win." At the same time, says you should have handled Detroit before you got the 2-point conversion.
Yeah, no question. Yeah.
If you're really a good team. So I got questions about where Carolina is after that game and the Pittsburgh game before that. You talk about Seattle. I mean, this is a team in heavy duty transition. You know, they got some weapons, you know, some decent receivers that Wilson works well with, but the offensive line is still not very good. He still looks like sort of a latter-day Fran Tarkenton half the time, you know, scrambling out of the back of the pocket. And the defense, you know, just, you know, I think they have the right idea and the right players to play the kind of system that, you know, Carroll wants to play.
Right.
It's just going to take a while because they're replacing so many great players. I mean, having Wagner in the middle as sort of the brain of the defense helps a lot. But there's no Michael Bennett. There's no Richard Sherman. There's no, you know, Thomas or Chancellor back there. So this is a long way from, you know, the height of their power.
Yeah, I guess I think I meant with, you know, just you know, if you want to call playoff.
Let it go.
Let it go. 6-4, 5-5, you know, they're.
let it go. It's just like trying to sell the Green Bay. I had somebody else earlier today go, wow, this Green Bay Minnesota game. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. How do you feel about that Tennessee Houston game Monday night?
Let me say this. I hope that Houston has a little something to honor Bob McNair and play hard for him.
Yeah, that's true.
I know he put his foot in his mouth about a year ago pretty badly, but I will say over the course of time that Bob McNair was an owner in this league, he was one of the nicest gentlemen to deal with, you know, for reporters. And look, there are a lot of owners who would never want to see a reporter's notepad ever again,
right?
Along with the person that it's attached to. So, you know, I give Bob McNair a lot of credit for keeping a certain amount of civility to this whole operation.
Yeah.
And that's all I will say about that game.
No, that's well, yeah, I think that's probably enough, as a matter of fact. And that's well said for Bob McNair. That's true, who just passed, yeah. Jason, enjoyed it. Don't look too hard for games to watch on Sunday, okay? I think you've already done that.
I'm leaving that one on you. You got all of that time to fill, so. Sell, baby, sell.
Jason, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it.